I'm number 32, The Prospect. So we've asked Brother Steve Palmgren to open with prayer on Brother Mark Chastain's service. Brother Steve.
Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We do thank you now for this time apart from the world again here to continue this blessed experience here with the brethren. And we do ask thy blessing on Brother Mark as he shares these truths with us and We ask thy blessing on all our hearts here as we strive to take these things in, to better apply them. And again, these things we ask thy blessing again on and do thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Steve. And for those of us that are in the room here, we don't really need to announce the subject. But for those online, the subject for this hour is The Thinking of Strange Things. The Thinking of Strange Things. May the Lord bless you, Brother Mark.
Brother Steve and Brother Peter, thank you. Well, brother, we hope you're enjoying the convention. We know we certainly are. Sister Ella would have loved to have been here with you today. She could not. We tried and it could not be worked out where she could. But she wanted her love conveyed to you, brethren. We have wonderful memories of 2 years ago when we were here, and it was just a blessing. There's an old adage that says that company, like fish, after 3 days start to smell. So we appreciate Brother David and Carol putting up with us for the time that we've been here. And thank you for giving us an hour of your time. We're after the meal. If you fall asleep, some have found that a blessing comes more from sleeping than listening to what I have to say. So feel free to do so. The thinking of strange things. We have all been guilty of this, I believe, at some point in our consecrated walk. And we're going to get into more in that we go. But before we do that, I want to introduce you to Gene and Dan Haley. This is Gene and Dan Haley. Now, we're going to introduce you a little bit more as we go along. We believe that we in this room are connected to them, and we're going to talk about how that's the case. What we want to talk about today is our consecrated walk and our connection with the world around us. These two young people have just gotten married, and they found out they're going to be parents. That's a wonderful time for all of us that are parents. And those of us that have not had children, had that privilege, you have shared in that with others and how wonderful that is. Now, I've never met these folks, but one day I hope that all of us will have a profound impact on their lives. And we're going to talk about how that's going to happen. But right now, we want you just to think about how happy they look and how happy they are in anticipation of having a child. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4:12, if we can. And it's on the screen. Actually, it's John 6:33. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the one coming, so I apologize. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Now, our Lord's wanting to give you something, peace. in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our Lord had the ability to say a lot in small words. Shakespeare in Hamlet says, the brevity is the soul of wit. In other words, if you can pack thoughts into small words, it's intelligence. And our Lord certainly had that. In this, he's concerned about your ability to have peace because he knows how important it is. He wants you to know you've got some trouble coming. You're going to have tribulation. It's guaranteed you will have tribulation. But it's okay. You can make it. You can make it. Now, we all have doubts whether we can make it or not. But the very fact that we've been called is guaranteed that we can make it. Period. The only limiting factor for us making our consecration, our calling, election sure, is us and our attitude. Not our successes, not our failures, our perspective, our attitude. Let's go to 2 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which shall try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. In many ways, the Apostle Peter is saying the exact same thing our Lord said, just maybe in a different way. Let's look at this word strange. Have you ever had the experience what the apostle's telling you not to do in this? Have you ever had an experience and you're like, well, why did that happen? It must have been my fault. I must have done something stupid to have this experience. Have you ever felt that way? Probably most all of us have. The apostle's telling us, don't think it's strange. Now, this word strange, first off, is think it not strange means don't entertain this. Don't have that thought. And the Greek gives the impression, never have that thought. Never think it's strange. Don't even entertain it, it says in the Greek, which we thought was very interesting. The next word that's used in that strange at the end is that it says, as though some strange thing happened to you, it's an alien thing. Don't think this is alien. Don't think this is something that's not expected. Don't think this is something that's strange to happen in your life. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which shall try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. When we say, why did I get that experience? When we say, I must have done something horribly wrong. When we say, why is this happening to me? That is the thinking of strange things. So today's discussion, we want to talk about a few things. First, what did we sign up to do? What's the contract that we've signed? We have a covenant. That's another name for a contract that we have with the Lord. What did we sign up to do? What do we get? Not what we deserve. Big difference. What do we get? Another name you could use for this, we're going to talk about grace. Grace. And finally, what will we get? What is it that we're going to get that we don't deserve, but we will get it? So let's go into the first one we have here. Let's talk about what we've signed up for. Let's reach back in history a little bit. And if the brethren remember that, not that you were there, but in World War II, when the Nazis are bombing London every day, They are there alone. They're in the battle alone. They'd had Dunkirk. It was a horrible situation. So they put Winston Churchill in as prime minister. So he calls all his ministers together. And he does not give them a pep talk at all. And this is what he says. He says, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." And brethren, that's all the Lord's offered us. In this life, it is blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Period. Now, if they were successful in what they were doing, they would have a country. And it's not an inconsequential thing. They would have saved their people from the Nazis during World War II, which is not insignificant. What are we going to get if we go through blood, toil, tears, and sweat? A lot different. A lot different. Who can tell me where this scripture's at? "Be thou faithful in the debt, and I will give you a crown." Revelations 2:10. Good scripture. What's the rest of it say? We can quote this part, but what about the rest of it? "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life." The two are tied together. Now, this is not a depressing talk, brethren. It sounds like it is, but it's not, okay? This is the contract we've signed of giving things up, of sacrificing things, of living differently than the world. Now, brethren, allow me a soapbox moment, if I might. I'm going to get on a soapbox. How many know what that symbol is right there? Facebook. Yeah, so we just love Facebook. Brethren, Facebook is not reality. So I'll tell you a story. I haven't been to any of my class reunions, but they had one class reunion that I know of. And people rented BMWs to drive up in there. They'd get a stretch limousine to come in. Why were they doing that? Because they wanted to say how successful they were since they left high school. Look at me. You know, it's been 10 years and I'm successful. Right? That's what Facebook is. No one puts up there, "My gosh, today I failed. Oh my goodness, I had a horrible evil thought that I had to put out of my head." No one puts that up there. And eventually you're thinking, "Well, how come I have all these trials and these people don't? They're so happy and they're going here and they're taking pictures." That's not reality, brethren, at all. What is reality? Well, this is reality. No cross, no crown. How do we vent this reality? Testimonies are our true reality. And if we're not taking advantage of testimony meetings every week, of pouring out our heart of what's happened, we're not helping ourselves, and we're definitely not helping our brethren. Don't make testimonies a Facebook moment. Let people know that you failed and that you're getting back up. A righteous man falleth how many times? Seven. Gets back up. So, let's talk about what we've signed up for. You all know we have the three foes. What are they? Okay, we're going to take them in a different order. It's word, the flesh, and the devil. And the reason we're taking a different order, because Brother Russell says, what's our biggest enemy? Self. It's not Satan. We'd like to think so, but it's not. Look in the mirror every day, and that's your biggest enemy. Okay. Let's take a look at Romans 7:15, if we can. Romans 7:15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I do, excuse me, but what I hate, that do I." Who's saying these words? The Apostle Paul. How many of us would want to put our lives up against the Apostle Paul? I'm going to say I'm going to couple that were short. But he had these struggles the way that we have these struggles. Why are trials important to us with this flesh? Well, number one, they're custom made. Now, that's important, brethren. When I was growing up, there was this lady that lived down the road from us. And she was a little crazy. She just wasn't right. And my mom one time asked, why is she not right? And we heard the story. She had a big monster truck. Her and her husband, have you seen those with the big wheels? They were very popular in the late 70s or in early 80s. And she hopped in her truck, and she was backing up, and her two-year-old son walked under the tire, and she crushed him. Now, you can understand why she may not be right. How many of us have had an experience that crushing? Maybe we have, but not many of us. Why is that? Because our trials are mediated by the Lord. So if we think we've got a horrible trial, we probably haven't gone through that. Our trials are custom made by God. They have designer labels. Well, our trials have designer labels. Made by God, right there. We have personal interactions that we have to deal with, whether it be the brethren or whether it be the world, our spouses, whoever. Unfortunately, as I told Sister Ella, if she makes her connection sure because of patience, I'm going to be responsible for that one. Okay? I've helped her with that. Our personal interactions with each other and the world is where, that's our battleground. That's our development. That's where we start getting these chunks off and we start polishing ourselves. And yes, the Lord will bring certain people to the workplace that you can't stand because you need to be around those people. Or that driver in front of you that you know cut you off on purpose, you need that for the interaction. Every single part of our lives, brethren, is controlled by the Lord. Everybody we come in interaction with, they call them accidents. They're not for us. They're purposeful. I don't know how you put that, but you get my point. Why? Because they are changing who we are. Now, I work for a very good company, and they do what's called it's called a PMI. And what they do is they have you sit down, you answer these questions, and they tell you what kind of a person you are. And there's four or five different trends they look at. Now, is it accurate? I don't know, but the first time I ever took one of these tests, they put us all in a room with the people that were like us, and I looked around, all the people I had problems with were the people who were sitting at my table. Now, Brother John and I worked at the same company at the time. He was at a different table, so we were okay. But the point is, there's something to this. So I asked this person, I said, how long have you guys been doing this? They said, for 50 years. Over 50 years, they have this data. And I said, so how many times have you retested people? They go, we do it all the time. I said, how many times when you retest them in the beginning and towards the end of their life, how many have changed? They say, almost none of them. One in 5 million, I think. So what does that tell you? So I said, what does that tell you? They said, well, that the personality you're born with, you're stuck with. But brethren, you're one in the 5 million. The Lord is saying you need to change who you are, your DNA, how you were born. You're being asked to do something that not even one in 5 million people can do. And yet the Lord has said what? Be of good cheer. I've done it. You can too. One in 5 million. And we can do it. We are guaranteed if we keep to what we've been asked to do. And we're going to talk about it in a second. How can we guarantee we're going to make it? We can. One in 5 million. Trials with the world. This is the more subtle trial, brethren. This is the one that's not so obvious. You say, well, yeah, it is. The world's a horrible place. Well, yeah, we all agree with it. But what do you define as horrible? It's like you've heard the story of the boiling water with the frog, right? And the reason that is a frog is a cold-blooded animal, so it conforms its temperature. And you can, they've done it before, you put it in hot water, and you keep turning the temperature up, it won't even notice because it's degrees. And eventually it will die. Okay? So it's the same thing with around us today. What has become evil in our minds is what we accept to be in our lives. It's the influence of the world around us. And that's huge. Do we get caught up in these things of the earth? It's hard not to. I don't write a thank you letter to Congress every time they raise my taxes. But do I get upset about it? Well, it's kind of sometimes you do. I'll tell you a story. It's going to sound so petty on my part, brother. I fight stuff like this, but the governor of our state decided to change the time. Now, we never set daylight saving time in Indiana. Never had to change it. Ever since I was a kid. And Mitch Daniels came in, and he changed that. And I was frustrated. I'm like, what's your problem? You know, I've got to set it back an hour? What? This is crazy. So every time I would see on the news a legislative thing he was trying to get through, I'm like, I hope it fails. Now, that's petty on my part. Right? But that's the influence of the world around me because I got caught up in something so stupid as daylight savings time. I didn't keep my flesh under. I should have just said, it's all going down. It's not going to matter soon. But I didn't. Something we all fight. Technology. How many of us feel like we have to have the latest iPhone or the latest Samsung? It's hard not to because it's got that really neat app we need, right? Or other things we can think of. We are subject to these things. Maybe some more than others. Some people don't care. But think, it doesn't have to be technology. Think about things around you that you see the world has you'd like to have, like that new shiny car that was just come out. Ella's got a little newer car than me. It's got the backup camera. Now, in my case, it might be a necessity because of the way I drive. But it would be really nice. I'd like to have. I gotta have one. I said that the other day. I said, I gotta have a backup camera. I do not have to have a backup camera, and I do not need that to make my calling election sure. But this is the influence of the world around us. How do we live our lives? How do we entertain ourselves, brethren? How do we entertain ourselves? Because that's that boiling frog in the water. The first time someone says a word, they'll use God's name in vain. Well, it's the world. Thou shalt not take the Lord, God's name, in vain. It's a slippery slope. How do we control that? Time. How we use our time tells us what's important to us. If we spend our time in study and sacrifice and give things up, we're telling the Lord that's important to us. If we spend our time, whatever it might be, we're not. That's what's important to us. Now, I'm saying we can't study all the time. That's not good either. That's a problem also. We have to have balance. You've got to go out into the, and you study and then you apply. You study and apply, study and apply. But how we spend our time is an indication to the Lord of what's important to us. And that's something I fail on. We might all fail on, but I can tell you I do. Trial with Satan and his henchmen. Now, this is a little harder to see, brother, because Satan's devious. I want to talk about fake issues. Let's take one that the world is really upset about right now, abortion. Would we say that there's scriptural support to say that abortion's bad? I would have to say I would believe that there is scriptural support to say that abortion would not be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Okay. Is that a big issue? To the world it is, but what about to us? Let's look at it from a different perspective, brother. What if all of those aborted babies would come back in the kingdom? Would it be an issue? It's not an issue, is it? It's just a time thing, right? Our Lord, over and over again, would look for the long. What's going to happen in 2 centuries? What's going to happen in 3 centuries? We have to do the same thing. It's a fake issue that Satan has put up to make us think about it. It's something that's really upsetting to us. Now, some would say, well, Brother Mark, they didn't have the breath of life, so they can't come back in the kingdom. It's a valid discussion to have. But what if the Lord said, you know what, I'm going to remember that makeup of that egg and the sperm. And in the kingdom, after the kingdom's established, and I create Jupiter and put people on it, I'll take that life and put it there. Doesn't that solve that problem? Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I have no scriptural basis for that at all. But I'm saying it could happen. In other words, the Lord is not going to be unjust. He's got this stuff figured out. The gay issue, another thing. I used to work with a gentleman that was homosexual, and he had a husband. What do you call it, a husband? And he asked my opinion on it. Now, he asked my opinion, he's going to get my opinion. And I said, I'm a Christian, and I don't believe that is supported in Scripture, that marriage is between a man and a woman. But I said, Gary, and Gary was a wonderful person. I said, Gary, you're a wonderful person. I don't believe that God's going to punish you in hell, as people have said. And in the kingdom, you're going to have a wonderful time. You're going to be just fine. Because he had a wonderful heart, brother. The long view. The long view. These things don't matter. Now, they get us because it's so unjust. They get it because we have to listen to it all the time. We get it because it's pushed in our face. That's frustration. The long view, brethren. Finally, Satan has thought injection, and I believe this. Our Lord was not taken to the pinnacle. He was put, that thought was injected into his mind by Satan. We have thoughts every day that will be put in our mind. I don't know where they came from. Where did that come from? I wasn't thinking of that. Brother Russell makes a wonderful statement. He says, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest. Throw the thought out. But this is all things that Satan does to us. And finally, do you feel like Lot some days? If you don't, then you might want to take a look and do some study on righteousness. Lot, when the angels came, where was Lot? He was outside the city. He couldn't even take being in there. Now, the question has to be, why did he just pick his family up and leave? Well, he had family issues. We get it. But, and it was showed later with the pillar of salt. But he didn't want to be there. Does anybody really want to be in this sinful world? I don't. And I can guarantee you don't either. Now, we have ties that, you know, we think would be hard to leave. As the apostle, our Lord talks about that too. It'd be hard to leave. But to be with the Lord, yeah, we'll trade that one. Let's talk about the blessings that we get today. Because this contract has two parts to it. Actually, three, but we want to know the things that we have to put up with, the blessings we get now, and the blessings we'll get in the kingdom. So what are some of the blessings we get now? This is a huge one. Huge. We take for granted the understanding of the ransom. But brethren, that's huge. We take for granted restitution. But can you see restitution? I remember one time, Brother Paul Brown in our class, he's no longer with us. We love that brother. And somebody said, I don't know if I see restitution. He says, look out the window. It's out there. But that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's not because we're smarter or because we've studied really hard. Those are important. The Lord doesn't call people that can't understand things. But the Holy Spirit was given to you as a gift, as part of this contract. And it's huge. Protection from the things of this earth. Sister Carol said she enjoys riding the airplane with the brethren because she knows she's probably not going to die. But if she but if she does die, it's okay because it's pretty much over anyhow. Now, we laugh at that because it is a cute story, but that's faith in action. We have the best protection. We have better protection than President Trump has. When Zerubbabel, and I'm not pronouncing that properly, bear with me, came to Hezekiah and surrounded the city, and he prayed to him. What happened? 187,000 people were killed in one night by one angel. That angel could be the angel that's guarding you now. He's got a history. No one's going to touch you if the Lord doesn't want it to happen. Article 5862. If you have an opportunity to read it, I think you'll be blessed. I was. It's titled Treasures Laid Up in Heaven. Maybe you've read it before. It's a wonderful article. He talks about the friendships that we have here with the brethren will last forever. Now, there's probably some thinking, I don't know if I want to spend eternity with Brother Mark. And I understand that. But we will spend time with our new creatures. Our new creatures will spend eternity together. And that's wonderful, brethren. Think about that. And brethren, we get help in every trial. That we talked about that lady where it rolled over her son with the car. If that did happen to us, the Lord would up the ante in helping us overcome it. The world can't even imagine this. It's not even something they're capable of understanding. The same God that keeps Saturn from bumping into Jupiter takes care of you and worries whether or not you've got enough food, whether or not that is the right person at work for you to be interacting with, or that person at the supermarket, so on and so forth. Let's consider Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You're all familiar with this scripture. For the joy is what we want to think about, brethren. For the joy. It wasn't a joy for the future. It was a present joy that he had. Now think of what it would have been like to be our Lord. Do you ever, I know it's wonderful to be around kids, but you know as well as I do, sometimes kids can be a little irritating. You know, they just keep asking the same question over and over again. And you know, there's a song called The Song That Does Not End. Our kids used to sing that all the time, and boy, that was a trial. Can you imagine what our Lord had to put up with people around him constantly? Constantly, he had to put up with people that were, you know, frustrating or whiny or what, all these different things. He's putting up with, every time he heals somebody, he feels tired. Oh, I don't feel good today. I had a little something, indigestion. Compared to you giving part of your life force to someone, and our Lord put up with that. He had joy. Joy. So let's talk about joy in our Christian life. So in the fifth volume on page 119 through 120, I imagine we've all read this. Let's go through some things. Some of these joys are the Lord's only, and some of them are joys that we get to share. Okay, first, a joy to render a service which would be acceptable to the Father. Now I know some of you, and you know who you are, do not think you ever do anything good. You're always thinking, every day, all you concentrate on is the bad things. How many here still believe today that the Lord is working in their lives? Let's show of hands. How many of you feel? So every one of you have done something that the Lord's pleased with. Let's not forget that we have victories. We do render service to the Lord that's acceptable to him. And what we think about it, well, I could have done it better. Yes, you could have done it better. No doubt. But remember, he's your advocate. He's on your side. So we do things that are acceptable to the Lord. When we don't watch that TV and we'll study. When we go help the brethren, you know, instead of saying, I need some rest, so on and so forth. We do it all the time, brethren. When we push those thoughts out of our head, let's consider ourselves from that. A joy to redeem mankind and makes possible their rescue from sin and death. We don't get that. That has nothing to do with us. Now, we have the ability to do some rescuing, but not the way this means. This was purely our Lord. This was the ransom. But we get to lay down the sin offering as part of his sin offering that we can help apply that ransom. That is powerful. Powerful. A joy in the thought that by the accomplishment of this redemption, he would be accounted worthy of the Father to be the mighty ruler and blesser, king and priest of the world, to reveal to the world a knowledge of the divine plan and to lift up from sin to divine grace whosoever would accept the terms of the new covenant. Now, we don't get a lot of that, but we get to participate in the work. Huge. Huge. Now we know why the great company is so upset. They lose this. They lose these three joys, or participating in those three joys. Finally, the fourth joy, a joy that the Father had promised him, not only a return to the glory of the Spirit being, which he had with the Father before the world was, but a more excellent glory, to be exalted above angels, principalities, and powers, and every name that is named, to be made an associate in the kingdom of the universe, next to the Father on the right hand of the majesty on high, a partaker of the divine nature and its inherent or immortal life. We get part of that. We can't even imagine what that's like, brother. Can't even imagine. Whereby are given unto us. This is what we're going to get one day, brother. Let's go on to the next one. Whereby given us his exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4. Today, we get the privilege to be part of the Lord's closest friends forever. Huge. We just heard about this next one. Part, an active part in restitution. We're going to kind of hone in that a little bit more here in a moment. An active part in restitution. We probably will have the ability to create other worlds and other beings. Think about that. The Lord says, you know what? You've been faithful. That's really cool. And it's, why don't you go with me to planet X and we're going to create 1 billion people and you're going to have the opportunity to tell them about Christ. That's pretty cool. 1 billion people. To know God is different than to know about God. You know God. Imagine what that would be like, brethren, all these things. What trial that you have, presently or future, could compare to this? Now, it's hard to, when you're in the middle of a trial, it's hard to remember this stuff. I get it. So let's talk about what do we have, how can we be guaranteed that we can make our calling election sure? You say, well, Brother Mark, there's no guarantees in this world. Well, actually, brethren, there are. The apostle gives us one. 2 Peter 1, 4-10, it was talked about earlier today, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. All right, so how do you do this? That's a big list. And if you're like me, you kind of glaze over after a while reading through the list, right? So how do you solve that problem? Well, for about a year and a half now, what Sister Ellen and I have done is we print these off on little cards. Maybe cards this size, you just print them down. And you put it up. And you say, this week is going to be patience. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it next to your desk. Put it next to the TV. That's a good place. Put it up where you're going to see it. And you will be surprised how your experiences will drive you to patience. Temperance. Brethren, there are some brethren we know that have gone a week without eating, just drinking water. They go, oh my gosh, I'll die. No, actually you won't. And it helps the temperance. It helps the temperance. Now maybe physically you can't do that. But going a day without food is a real good thing. Because around the end of the day, you're kind of like, a carrot. It's just a carrot, you know. Yeah, the Lord's not going to care if I eat a carrot, you know. You'll start justifying that. But it's important to build that temperance. Patience, we talked about. Godliness. How can I be more godly? And you'll think about that during the day. We can just say it's helped us. It's helped us. Brother, let's go back now and consider this couple that we discussed before. What's important and what we want to get out of this talk, or hope you get out of this talk, is how real our consecration is. And when things are real, they have real consequences and they have real results. There will never, in a trillion years from now, on the trillionth jubilee, which would be 50 trillion years from now, the world of mankind, the offer to the church will still be a one-time event. Never will there be an opportunity ever for what we are striving for. So this is Jenna and Dan Hartley. We talked about they were really wanting they're going to have children. And so, like we said, they were happy to be parents. So what they did was they went out and they prepared for the baby. Every husband enjoys going out to those shopping experiences, let me tell you. You never know. When we picked our out, because, you know, Ella's she's very logical and very reasonable, and you can't imagine how many car seats there are. And I didn't really see any difference in any of them. And look how she's made a heart here on her stomach where the baby's at. You know, this is the one, they were having a wonderful experience with this. And after 13 weeks, they found out about a new word they'd never heard about. And I'm having trouble pronouncing it, called anencephaly. Now, what is anencephaly? From Wikipedia, anencephaly is the absence of a major portion of the brain, skull, and scalp that occurs during embryonic development. Think about that. These people were hit with that. So what did they do? Well, they did not abort him, which is often the suggestion in these cases. They created for this child a bucket list. Now, if you don't know what a bucket list is, there's a saying that the guy kicked the bucket, right? So before you die, you want to have all these things you want to do. So they created a bucket list for their unborn child. This is how they dealt with this grieving process. It took him to New York while he was in her stomach. They gave him a Halloween costume. Now, we would never do this, brethren, but this is how they dealt with this. He was a big baseball fan, so it's Dad's number one fan right there. And finally, Shane was born. They named him Shane. And 4 hours later, he died. And after 2 years, they're still grieving. Yesterday, our handsome little man turned 1 year and 6 months. Time really flies. This day, 2 years ago, we found out our Shane had anencephaly, which is a very difficult day for us. We'll miss and love Shane so much. Brother, when we heard this on the news, it really touched us. And why do we bring them up? This is part of the joy. Not this. But let's consider something. Save the Children reports that 11,000 babies in the United States every year die of this disease. Just this one disease. It's just one disease. In 13 years, what does that mean? Over 144,000 babies. What does that mean? That for every 13 years, every one of us that are faithful could restore this baby to that family and give it back to them. Now think about that. Is that part of our joy? Brethren, if we consider this, just this one person, this one group of people, what kind of a profound effect would you have on that couple to give them their baby back? Now, this is one person, two people, out of the estimated 100 billion that have been born. Tomorrow, your bank account might get overdrawn because you do something stupid. How does that trial compare to the joy of giving that baby back? What if we all decided, if we were all faithful to get together on day X, we would take these parents, we'd have them go someplace and they'd fall asleep, and all of us together would put that baby in her arms and wake her up? What would that do for us? What does it do for you right now to think about being able to do that? And then to repeat it on Monday and do it on Tuesday and do it on Wednesday. This is not a dream. This is what we are being told we will do. And that's just babies that have suffered from this one disease. What about someone that was born with a problem in their brain and they had a temper all the time, they were killing people and they had no friends? And you can give them one friend called the church. Think of all the things that have happened. We will correct every one of those. We don't, as a general rule, put a face to it. Let's put a face to our consecration. These people are waiting on something. What are they waiting on? They're waiting on Romans 8. And let's go there. Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18 and 19. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now think about that, brethren. He brings up the trial aspect, which every one of us concentrate on, because it's in our face every single day. Your flesh is with you. The world is with you. And Satan is with you. He follows you around. Remember the Pharisees in John 9 where our Lord takes the blind man and heals him? And our Lord seeks him out, which he didn't have to do. He took time from his busy schedule to go find this man, which says a lot about Jesus. Says a lot about his humility. And who was with him? The Pharisees were following him around everywhere. poking at him, poking at him, poking at him. That's what Satan does to you every day and the evil spirits. That's what your flesh does to you every day. It pokes, pokes, pokes. You're the death of a thousand cuts. But they don't care. They're waiting on you to get done. Why? That the trial of your faith, it doesn't mean anything. This trial doesn't mean anything. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. These people are waiting on us. They want their baby back, and you'll have the power to give it to them if we are faithful. So that checking account sounds a little rough. So let's say in the future you make your college insurance. You're talking to St. Billy Bob. Now, St. Billy Bob lived back in the 1800s, and you're comparing your note cards. So what were some of your trials, Brother Mark? Well, I'll tell you. It was the hottest day in July, and our air conditioning went out. It was horrible. What was your trial? Well, they killed me because I was passing out Bibles. Oh, well, it doesn't sound as good, does it? So think about the trials of our lives, third world problems, compared to what these people went through, and compared to what the saints have gone in the past. It kind of makes us a little ashamed, doesn't it? Brother Russell says it takes less faith to live now than it has in the past. Why? You can see around you the fulfillment of prophecy. Israel's a nation. 70 years next month. You are all witnesses of yourself that the truth is accurate. That Holy Spirit is witness to you every single day. We're not that smart, brethren, but we understand the scriptures better than anybody else in the world. It's not us. Believe me, I've worked with some guys that were, they had the Mensa card. They were brilliant. Some of them couldn't tie their shoes. But the point is, they were brilliant. We're not brilliant. We're just not. But we have the Holy Spirit every day to overcome these things. They are waiting on us, brethren. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Brethren, we cannot allow Satan to make us think that we can't make it. How many here, let's do a mini testimony meeting here. How many here have ever felt that they weren't going to make it? Every single one of us have doubted at one point or another. Oh, I've really messed it up this time. I've really messed it up. When you have those feelings, we would make a suggestion to you. Go take a look at the manna text for September the 20th. We meant to put it up, but we didn't. September the 20th. And what does it say on September the 20th? It says, into whatever situation you get into, whatever you do, brethren, and we've all done some things that we wouldn't want people to know about, if you find yourself hungering and thirsting for the Lord, if you're asking for his forgiveness, you have not committed the sin and the death. You have not. You're still in the race. We still can make this, brethren. I have overcome the world. Now, he's not bragging. He's not saying that because, oh, look, I made it. He's saying, I made it. You can make it. And, brethren, we can make it. We can be part of those that will give that baby Shane back to those people. If that inspires you, good, because you're going to be doing it a lot in the kingdom if you're faithful. May the Lord add his blessings to any truth that we've spoken here today.
Thank you, Brother Mark. We have a prospect. We sang that to open. And the joy set before him. Well, we're going to close with hymn number 169. 169. Last verse, please.
Our beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and blessed name. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for you being who you are, for giving us these wonderful promises, these wonderful prospects, this wonderful encouragement and help that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, and we pray that it will be upon us, that we might go forth and be pleasing to you. And we take of this ransom sacrifice that the Lord has laid down for us, that we might be pleasing to you through his merit. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us in this convention, that we'd be a help one to another, that we would be an encouragement, that we might get our armor on stronger and get ready for the battle that shall come when we walk out of these doors. We do ask your forgiveness and our many shortcomings. In and through Jesus Christ, by his merit and by his sacrifice, Amen.